Yeah. It's tempting this time of the year, because many of us just want to take our mat and go somewhere because the weather is nice. But I want to thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to read to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jesus is comforting his disciples, and he's preparing them for what is about to happen, that is his death and his departure. It says in verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and we will be in you." And then he went on, chapter 16. He says in verse 12, chapter 16, he said, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can know and bear, can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make known to you." Amen. Today we celebrate the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it's a wonderful reminder for all of us Christians on the work and the promises of God in our lives and here in terms of his purpose and will to mankind. When we, in Fiji, we have a lot of cyclone that comes. I remember the first time my kids experienced the cyclone. It was 2012. We were lying in bed with an open window and we saw things flying all around us. We were worried that even our little house will be blown away. The next day we walked outside and saw the devastation, the impact that the cyclone left. We don't see the cyclone. But we see the impact of what he did. Everything that he left in its path. Jesus was about to leave and fulfill the reason why he came here on earth. And he gathered his disciples and he said to them, I'm about to go, but I'm going to send somebody. He said, another comforter. He will remain with you forever. He said, he is going to be the very comfort, the very role of Jesus that he had with the disciple. This comforter will do exactly that. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. What happened if God didn't send the Holy Spirit to us? Will there be church? Will there be Christians? What will happen to the movement of God after Jesus left? When we look at the Old Testament, we see certain times throughout the history of the Bible that God would empower certain individuals to carry out certain tasks in history. He will fill them and empower them with the Holy Spirit. But on the day of Pentecost, this promise has been poured out. We read in Acts, we all know that after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, all the disciples were there in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And then you have Peter, and the crowd started to wonder what's going on with this group of people. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter here, the same person that denied Jesus, stood with boldness. He's the same person that said, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. Now he stood in front of the crowd and preached like he has never preached before. Empowered, fueled by the Holy Spirit. And it says that thousands and thousands of people came when they heard the message, so powerful. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ convicts their heart, and they came and repented. It says 3,000 came. And out of this group of people, the first church in the New Testament was formed. And from there, the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I like this message because the disciples were just people like you and I. Yeah? Sometimes they were not good disciples. Sometimes they missed some of the stuff that Jesus talked about. You know? Jesus said, you are going to do this. So how can these disciples, Jesus entrusted them one of the biggest responsibilities, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel of salvation, the gospel of eternal life to the people. How can they preach this and never move out of context? How could they keep the truth of the gospel? Like we read before, Jesus said, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. That means that the disciple, with the Holy Spirit guiding them, preserving the gospel and the purity of the truth throughout generation till the day we are here today, that gospel of salvation, that they won't be wrong. He says, he will keep you from all wrong. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The role of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians is very important. Another role that he said, that he will convince the world of their sin, that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction into our hearts and to bring us to the truth, to bring mankind to understand their need of God and salvation. It says he will guide you. He will also empower us. We see the church in the New Testament, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, these ordinary people begin to see signs and wonders, a manifestation of the power of God. Jesus says, you will do great things. Not only that they do, they manifest power. The purpose of that is that people are coming to faith in Christ Jesus. That the demonstration of his power manifests before the eyes of people who came and repented. They heard the gospel. Miracles happen. When I read this, look at the book of Acts, and see the work of the Holy Spirit, I get excited. Because as believers, God has given us that same Spirit. Amen? How are we connected? And it's amazing what Jesus did was not only that he promised them that the Holy Spirit in the lives of the disciple, that Jesus is gone now, bring an amazing connection to the Father. The intimacy to the Father they have never known before. Jesus came and spoke of the Father. He taught about the Father to the disciples. He even taught them the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven. And after the ascension, there comes the Holy Spirit bringing connection of believers to the Father, understanding who he is in our lives. This intimacy that we can have with God comes from the Holy Spirit. He reminds us of who we are. Let me just read to you a couple of scriptures from Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, he says, God send his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. The work of the Holy Spirit also is to remind us of who we are and who we belong to. Amen? And that's a wonderful thing that we are not alone. He said, I will never leave you. That Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit presents with us, guiding us, convicting us, realigning us to the purpose and to the will and to the ways of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit that makes you slave again to slavery, to fear, but you receive a spirit of sonship. By him we cry out, Abba, Father. I like one of the best Disney movie that I love is The Lion King. Remember that? I talked about this a lot. And there was a time that Simba ran away. Is it Simba? What's the name of the lion? Mufasa. So there you go. So Simba ran away, went in exile, and lived with the pig and Pumbaa and one mongoose. Yeah? Took on a new identity. Totally forgotten. Let me backtrack here. In the beginning, we saw when Simba and his father came to Ayers Rock and one morning. And then one day the father spoke to Simba and said, Simba, you see all this land as far as your eyes can see. Yes, father. One day the sun will set on me and he will rise on you. You are going to rule. Oh, cool, dad, cool. But don't go there. Yeah? So you have a personification of the devil, which is Scar, the uncle, who's jealous of Simba's position, create a situation that cost the life of Mufasa. And then he blames Simba. You did this. Now run away. So Simba believed in the lies and ran away. Ran away, and then he found himself in another world, another jungle, with two other characters. Now, he adopted this new life, and that becomes a sense of purpose for him. And then suddenly, one day, he met a monkey. Why am I talking about monkey? He met a monkey on the tree. And the monkey started annoying him. So, hey, who are you? Get out of here. And then the monkey said to him, I know you. You don't know me. And the monkey said to him, no, you do not know who you are. I know you. You are Mufasa's son. You are the son of the king. And every sense of purpose began to click in to Simba. Everything that he ran away from, the truth of why he exists as a person or as a creature, came back. I like this story. He went on to restore again. The Holy Spirit is always reminding us believers of who we are in Christ. Amen? Because we live in a world also that is full of lies. Remember, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He said he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, it is not just a force or something we talk about on Christmas. Oh, the spirit of Christmas, a jolly, jolly feeling. The Holy Spirit, the very name speaks of his deity, that he is God from creation. He says, when the worldwide voice said the Spirit of God was moving. So we see the Holy Spirit co-creating with God from the very beginning of creation. We see the Spirit at work throughout the history, even all over the Old Testament, you will see. And now, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, promised his disciples, see, you are not going to be alone. I'm about to go, and I'm going to go to my Father. But if I don't go, the Comforter will not come. The Helper, the Advocate, the one who will help you and assist you and make known to you everything that I have taught you. We celebrate today because not only we think about the coming of the Holy Spirit, but we need to acknowledge his presence here with us. Amen? With you, with me, that every day of our life, this promise applies to us. I remember one day I had a talk with my daughter about a certain issue, and then I came home, there was a little picture, a heart, and I leave it right in front of the car, on the mirror. So when I put down the mirror, this note is there, and it says, "Dad, forgive me." The Holy Spirit brings conviction to us. The work of the Holy Spirit is to change us. The work of renewal and regeneration, that once we were like this, but now we're here, and it's changing our lives all the time. And that comes by us yielding, acknowledging his work and his role in our lives to guide us. He remind us, he empower us to do the things that we thought we cannot do. He refresh us and renew us. He change us, that we became different person when we were many years ago. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, bring regeneration, that we have a relationship with Christ and he's working in our hearts, growing in our walk with him to maturity, growing in our knowledge of him. Not only that, but growing in our witness by him living through our lives. How are we doing in terms of how willing are we to acknowledge the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the church, his conviction? When was the last time you ever felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit to do something, to obey him, to bless someone, to ask for forgiveness, to go and do something? Christian life is about living our lives in the Spirit. Paul, we've just been talking about the book of Ephesians. Paul reminding the Ephesians, you have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Not only that he comes and guides us to the truth, he comforts us, he reminds us of who we are, but he gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit to help us in the call that God has called us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit we're going to talk about next week. But today, if there's anything that we can do today, is just remind ourselves again that there is a presence, that God is present with us in the person of the Holy Spirit as he did with the disciples. It changed the lives of the first church in the New Testament. It brought them together. They start meeting together. It gives them, the work of the Holy Spirit brought them to a love and a hunger for the Word of God. And he said that they submit themselves to the teaching of the apostle. They pray together and they witness together. I hope that we will continue to live in their empowerment and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That we will be empowered. It says that God has given us the spirit of wisdom. He didn't give us the spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of love and the spirit of power and the spirit of discernment, to discern what the Spirit is doing, to discern the guidance of God. He said, I have much more to say to you in verse 12, chapter 16. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. It is our role also as a church. You know, who was the last, how young was the youngest person to respond to the Spirit of God? Or to the presence of God. He was still a baby. Remember the mother of Jesus and the mother of John? They were pregnant. They were standing and talking. And he says that the baby inside Elizabeth jumped when he feel closer to the presence. I'm going to close there, and I want to invite us to reflect on this, is how much do we acknowledge the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our family, in our decision making, in terms of guidance. Tell you one personal story. I have many stories to tell. Let me just give you one illustration. This is special to me because yesterday was my anniversary with my wife, our wedding. I was in New Zealand many decades ago, and I was praying for my wife. And then suddenly, I got a email from Eileen. Hey, I'm in New Zealand, blah, 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 blah. So I said to her, I wrote in my response, I'm also in New Zealand. This is my number. 5 minutes later, she called. So we haven't seen each other for nearly 10 years. We've went on our own separate life. God has been working in our lives in different way, but we have come into that season of our lives that God was up to something. For me, it was. So I was working with the Wesleyan Church of New Zealand. So I said, let's go have coffee together. So we met in this gas station. And I'm standing there inside the gas station looking outside. I haven't seen her. And then I saw her walking. Yeah. And you know in your heart, without a shadow of a doubt, that's the answer to your prayer right there. It's not, and when you said yesterday, and we reflect back, and we see there are certain seasons of our lives that we have taken deliberate steps of obedience that have brought us to where we are today. The Spirit, He will guide us. His role, His commitment to us as believers is to guide us. The guidance of the Holy Spirit always guides us towards the purpose and the good purpose of God. Amen? For your children, for us as adults and as parents. So my encouragement for us today to awaken that area in our lives that we need to connect. Awaken our discernment and acknowledgement of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We lose nothing. We gain. Sometimes we thought the Holy Spirit, we always think of the Pentecost and this movement and some weird stuff that we have seen on TV. No, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that comes to us to draw us closer to God and to help us and empower us to do the will of God here in this earth. Amen? The comforter, the teacher, the helper, the advocate, your friend, your companion, that one will not leave you, will guide us until the day we see Jesus. Also in Ephesians, just to close this, it says that He has given us the Holy Spirit as a seal of those who belong to Him. Christians and believers, they belong to God because they've been sealed by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And also He said, Paul, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, that this is the orabon. This is the guarantee. So when we purchase a house, you put a down payment because this is your commitment that you will pay everything. The Holy Spirit, the book of Ephesians said to us by Paul saying that the Holy Spirit is this arabon. He's the guarantee that God gave us the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that means His work is not done. He will come back again to fulfill all that He has for us. I think this is wonderful. Amen? That we are sealed, that you are walking, living, breathing purpose of God because of our faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And guarantee that the Holy Spirit is there with us to finish the work, to be with us until the work is finished. He who began the good work in us is faithful to bring it to completion. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, I want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, for all that has been accomplished on the cross through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the new life that you have promised us, a new life in you. We want to thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have given us to equip us, to guide us, to empower us, to comfort us, to be with us forever. Help us to pay attention on the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in this church, and all around us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.